Okay, let me repeat the terms of reference of this chat with Jane, because, yes, Obama has overturned the ban that prohibits funding to international family planning groups that even mention abortion as a possible method of family planning, introduced by Reagan, rescinded by Clinton, brought back by George W. Bush. And, as I said, we introduced the same sort of policy in a political deal with Brian Harradine back in 1996. In this way, the government got his vote for the Telstra sell-off. So, it's known as the, if you like, as the Mexico City policy, and that's because, well, I'll find out why it's known as that in just a minute. But the Obama decision to scrap it has been viewed with great interest here, and there seems somewhat of a reluctance to get rid of it by the Rudd government, because, of course, they've got to deal with Family First Senator Steve Fielding, whose vote is crucial to Labor on many issues. The once famous broadcaster Jane Singleton is these days the CEO of the Australian Reproductive Health Alliance, which does a great job promoting public support for enhanced reproductive and sexual health in Australia and internationally. And she's come back to the ABC, at least for a couple of minutes, to talk to me. Jane, is it true that this overturning of the global gag policy, the Mexico City policy in the US, leaves us as the only country in the world to limit overseas aid funds in this way?
Philip, yes, it is, and I find it incomprehensible. Do you know that a woman a minute dies across the world, either in childbirth or pregnancy-related difficulties? And it is so hard to believe we've let this go on year after year, decade after decade, century after century. But our government has been reluctant to move. And, of course, there was a period at the beginning of the Rudd government where Senator Fielding was, of course, not in the Senate, and this was not an issue. But I know there are many, many, many parliamentarians of all parties who are passionately concerned about this and so disappointed and so frustrated.
It's been very hard to get anyone on the program to discuss it, though, Jane, so I'm most grateful that you've popped in. Why the Mexico City policy?
Ah, that's a complicated and historical thing which relates to the American gag. Our equivalent of the gag, as you know, was introduced at the behest of Brian Harradine and has been there for 11 years. And you mentioned abortion, but it's not just about abortion, because what's happened is the Australian government's participation in funding for family planning itself over that 11 years of the family planning guidelines has decreased, that's of all family planning funding, has decreased by 84%. So it affects women's access to obstetric care, access to information, access to education. And, of course, while unsafe abortion is about 13% of the cause of maternal deaths worldwide, a lot of the cause is people just can't get to obstetric care, or their communities or families don't think they need or deserve it, or there might be none. So there are a range of issues that need to be understood. And I believe so many members of Parliament, because my organisation also forms a secretariat to the Parliamentary Groups on Population Development, they believe that women and their families should have the right to the information, should have the right to the education, so that if they wish to, where it is legal, certainly they could have a legal abortion, but most importantly, so they can make decisions about the numbers and the spacing of their children.
Let's look at the neighbourhood. I understand that the maternal mortality rates have doubled in PNG.
Yes, and it's absolutely tragic. Wonderfully, they have decreased in Timor-Leste, but in Papua New Guinea, they have doubled. They've actually increased 56% over the period of the last reports. And when you think that's up...
Well, I've got some figures here which I'd like to share with the listener. There are less than 8 maternal deaths per 100,000 here in Australia, 500 per 100,000 in PNG.
Yes, it's astonishing and horrifying. To be fair, it's not as bad as Sierra Leone and not as bad as Afghanistan, but neither should it be that bad.
I understand that kids whose mothers have died are between 3 and 10 times more likely to die within 2 years than those who have both parents alive.
Yes, the effect goes well beyond the mother. It goes to the entire family and to the premature deaths of her existing children, obviously to the economics of the family, because the father then, if there is one present in the family, has to both care for the children and provide income. So it is the most devastating effect, and it has a huge effect on the broader community. It has an effect on the children's lives. It's just an incomprehensible thing to allow to happen, and I, like many other Australians, can't believe that we deny this right to the women in communities where we provide aid, and it's a right that we give to women in Australia.
Given that Rudd is making every attempt to identify himself with Obama in style and attitude, one suspects that he must be under a lot of personal pressure on this issue.
Well, it's very hard to know, because I know, for instance, that the chair of our parliamentary group, Senator Claire Moore, has very recently contacted Minister Smith, who has the ability to strike out this regulation.
So it could be done that easily? It
can be done that easily, right. Yes. And it does not require a change of law. It is just a regulation that the relevant minister is Minister Smith, Minister for Foreign Affairs, can strike the regulation out. Now, there's an advantage and a disadvantage in that. Sure, it's easy, but there is no evident transparency as there would were there a debate in Parliament. So it's a complicated matter, but it is not unlike the gag, which is in effect a regulation which was lifted just like that.
It reminds us, of course, what a remarkable Machiavellian fellow Harradine was. He had a genius, of course, for doing these sorts of deals, whether they were about abortion or pornography, to change a vote on critical legislation.
Oh, indeed, and remember a year or so ago the RU486, the allowance of medical termination in Australia, which had been prevented at the behest of Brian Harradine. And regardless of your views on whether abortion is acceptable in the community or not, it was legal in many circumstances to have an abortion surgically, but not medically.
Have any of your like-minded organisations talked to Family First about this?
I couldn't speak for any other organisations, because my organisation also forms a secretariat for the parliamentary group, which is an all-party group. It's not really appropriate for me to get into that. But Senator Fielding has been quite clear about his views on abortion, as have perhaps Senator Bartlett. But I don't think it would be appropriate for me to go and talk to them.
Okay,
but
well,
I
know there's some pretty delicate negotiations going on, and I don't want to put you in a difficult position, but I'm just flabbergasted to think that Australia is being so sluggish, so recalcitrant, to use a famous Keating term, on this issue, which is so terribly serious for women everywhere.
And their existing children and their families. I find it incomprehensible. I'm passionately of the belief that women and their families who want information about family spacing, who want information about how they time their families, should be able to get it. I spent 10 years as a director and chair of one of the international development agencies, and I came to the conclusion that if people cannot make decisions, if they wish to, about the spacing of their children, about the size of their families, it is so hard then to make food aid or health aid or anything else work. It just makes it almost impossible. So I'm clearly personally very committed. My organisation is. I know the Parliamentary Group on Population and Development is. And I am, like you, I am just amazed that we cannot do this.
Before I let you go, Jane, is it possible for privately raised funds to detour this roadblock?
Well, as I said at the beginning, what's happened is that the Australian government aid to the broadest range of family planning, which could include the rhythm method, it could include a whole range of things, had decreased over this period by more than 80%. Now, private organisations can put money into it, but if they're also needing access to AusAid monies, for instance, they're going to be wary, because the accountabilities under the family planning guidelines are very stringent, very difficult, and they're not going to want to prejudice the other very good work they do. So it has become a bit of a balancing act, but I think the time's come now. I can't believe that Australian parliamentarians want to be the only country in the world that's so discriminate against women.
Anyone that takes you on, Jane, is doomed, in my experience, observing your activities over the years. And I'm sure that many a gladdy and a potty will write a stern letter to their MP or indeed to the minister. Thank you for your time. Jane Singleton, currently the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Reproductive Health Alliance. And we'll keep an eye on this and keep you posted. This is Late Night Light on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia, ABC Online, and downloadable onto your pod. Coming up, after a little bit of music from the maestro, Being Harold Pinter.